When I'm trying to tell you, like, when I actually been to a couple of churches and it was something like that, I mean, that would jack you up as a kid, jack you up. And so anytime I heard preachers talking about money, I immediately was like, oh boy, am I about to get shot today because I gave a dollar in the offering? You know, like, unfortunately, you all, even legit preachers who actually taught the word of God, I would immediately lump them up with guys like that. And unfortunately, you all, I cut myself off from learning sound doctrine, from learning God's actual words, what he actually said about money. You all, I threw the baby out with the bathwater. And then God, in his infinite wisdom and his peculiar sense of humor, made me a pastor, right? And I wasn't in here for a few weeks, and the staff and God laid it on out of our hearts, was like, yep, it's time for a giving, time for a giving series. Oh, boy, you know? Because I was super scared, you all, that you all would lump me in with preachers like that. I was terrified of it. And so what I did, you all, I went to the word myself because I didn't trust anybody, no matter how legit they were, I didn't trust anybody's teaching about giving. So I went to the gospel myself and I read and I studied. I mean, and God, you all, changed my life. He, God himself, taught me what giving is all about, how we give, why we give, changed my life. And so then God was like, all right, now you know the truth, Richard. So now you know the truth, obey the truth, and now as a pastor, you have to preach the truth. Knowing that I had to preach the truth, you all, I did a big mistake, huge mistake. I felt like myself, Richard Marks, had to compel you all to give. I felt like if I didn't give you a message so captivating, so inspiring, you know, so well put together, then you all would not only accept, like, not only not would you all accept the teaching, but you wouldn't even obey the scriptures at all. And so I'm racking my brain. I'm like, okay, God, what's a good illustration? You know, let me make sure I'm not saying, you know, the you knows all of the time and the ums and the ands. It needs to be clear. It needs to be dynamic. It needs to be funny. It needs to be serious. It needs to be a perfect sermon. Because if I don't give a perfect sermon, you all won't obey God in that. Big mistake. Does anybody know why that's a big mistake here, you all? It's a big mistake because that's not my job. It's not my job to compel you all to give. It's a big mistake because I am assuming the job of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not God. There's nothing that I can do to compel you all to obey the scriptures. There's nothing I can do. Again, that's the Holy Spirit's job. John 14:26 says this, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. It's the Father that sends the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. There's nothing I can say to make you obey God's word, men and women. I am not built that way. Now, 2 Timothy tells me exactly what I'm supposed to do. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. As a pastor, I'm supposed to preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. And I'm supposed to correct according to the word of God, rebuke according to the word of God, and encourage according to the word of God with great patience. Lord knows I need great patience with some of y'all. All right? And careful instructions. See, God does the transformation. I'm just a delivery boy. I just deliver the truth. Also in Ephesians, it said, as a pastor, I'm supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints. What does it mean to equip? Whenever you equip somebody, you give them the necessary tools they need to fulfill their purpose, to fulfill their objective. Now, whose objective am I? Whose objective, you all? It's God's objective. So my job is to give you the necessary tools to fulfill God's objective. And what's the necessary tools for you to fulfill God's objective? It's the Word of God. And so what I need to do is just to study the Word of God and allow Him to compel you. Now, forget that, to compel you, to allow Him to transform you. Amen? Somebody, that's it? Sign me up. It's God that does the transformation. My job is to love you. It's God's job. It's God's job to change you. So, church, let's figure out what the Word says about giving. So a couple of weeks ago, we read Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. So let's read it again to kind of re-jog our memory. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Verse 10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And if, this is big, you all, again, I gotta stop on this one. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. See, here God gives us a simple cause and effect. When we give our full tithes and offerings, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour down for us a blessing till there's no more need. And church, can you imagine what our land will look like when there's no more need? I actually sat and tried to imagine it. Our land here now, where there's no more need. Can you imagine how this area would look? You all, whenever you go to, imagine going to Walmart. And you know, normally at Walmart, especially on the weekends, right there on their corner before you get to the light, you know, or right at the light, there's a man or a woman, they're holding up a sign asking you, I'm saying, for money, for food, or for whatever. Can you imagine? Like, there's no areas in here, you know, that you don't see homeless folks. Because there's none here. Can you imagine our land looking like that, you all? Can you imagine parachurches like CAM, Christian Action Ministries, and Jesus Was Homeless having to meet the needs in other areas because they can't find people who are hungry and homeless here? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine caring people moving their location away from this area because single parent homes are becoming extinct? Church, can you imagine Options Pregnancy Clinic closing down their location because there is nobody considering abortion? Or there's not even anybody who experienced abortion. Can you imagine our land looking like that here and now today? Like, yo, I know this sounds radical, but isn't Christianity radical? Isn't God radical? Like, I truly believe we can experience this in our land here today, right now. By our hands and our feet. Because we are vehicles for God Himself. We are the body of Christ. Think about this. If we actually believe that God Himself can do that, and God says we are the body, and God lives in us, that means we are vehicles to make that happen. The question is, church, do you have faith that God has the power to do that? If your answer is yes, how about we remember that God is inside of us? So God will show His power through you, me, us, MBF. Amen? There are no limits to God's blessings. I actually believe all of this stuff can happen. Actually believe it. That's what it looks like when God opens up the windows of heaven and pour down His blessings until there is no more need. Now let's make it a little bit more personal. Some of you all may be thinking, does my personal finances, does that count as well? Absolutely. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the God with your wealth, like whatever you receive, like in your tithes, in your offerings, everything that God gives you, you honor him, you obey him with your wealth, with everything that God blessed you with, and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns would be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. God says, just honor me with what you have. Obey me, and I will give you more. Hear me, church. If we give generously, we give generously to receive abundantly. Again, we give generously to receive abundantly. But that sentence alone, I got to put it in context. That sentence of loan can get some folks in trouble. So allow me to give you some advice here, folks. We have to check our motives. If your main goal is to accumulate wealth, you are outside of God's will. If we are giving, if the main reason we're giving is to accumulate wealth and we are outside of God's will, then we are not obeying God. God doesn't want that. And if we are withholding to accumulate wealth, to stack our bread, to stack our cheddar, to make all of this money, if we're doing all of that, then we are outside of God's will. Can you just imagine? Just think of your kid. If Maggie came up to me, or Violet or Penelope, if they came up to me and they only said super nice things to me, like if they only obeyed so they can get stuff, it would break my heart. I wouldn't want that as a father. I would want them to obey me simply because I am their father and they wanted to honor their father. You think about any relationship. Husbands, what if your wives only honored you because you, like, oh, if I honor my husband, then he'll really give me this nice diamond necklace. I mean, how would you feel about that? That's not true love. We need to give to honor God. Are y'all with me? Wealth wasn't created by God for our accumulation. I'm going to repeat that. Wealth, the things that God gives us, was not created by God for us just to have. So why was wealth created? Jesus addressed this in Luke 12, 13 through 21. And so you all, let's read it. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, more than likely, this was a younger brother saying that, "Hey, God, Jesus, tell my older brother to divide his inheritance with me." Now, the reason why that happens, you all, because if you were the firstborn back then you would get the first fruits of the inheritance. You would get the double portion of inheritance. And the little brother, you know, they get a little something. But the little brother felt jealous of the older brother, and he was like, "Hey, can you tell, like, Jesus, will you tell my older brother to divide it evenly amongst us too?" This is how Jesus responds. And he said to them, "Take care." No, I'm sorry. He said, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." Now, think about this, you all. Right there, Jesus was like, look, like he addresses the heart immediately. Immediately he addresses the heart. And he looks at this man's heart and he sees that his heart is just, all he wants is stuff. He's looking at his brother jealous and all he wants is stuff. That's his heart. Like, God, just tell him to give me my stuff. Jesus calls that out and he says, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He says, you're more special than what you have. It's not about what you accumulate. You're more special than that. I created you greater than just having stuff. And then Jesus tells them the parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this.
I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Now relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required for you. Oh, I'm sorry. The soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Y'all, this parable is called the parable of the rich fool. Now, here's why it's called the rich fool. In just three sentences, check this out, y'all. In just three sentences, the man uses the word my and I statements 12 times. Think about it. What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build up larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain, my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, and he's speaking to the self, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And so on the top of all of these I and me statements, he was like, look, and after that, I'm just going to party. I'm just going to retire. You all, everything belongs to God. Everything. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and who lives in it. You all, like, everything belongs to God, but in this man's mind, he goes, no, I will store up my barns, my crops, my land, my, me. You see, he was taking the focus completely off of God. Matter of fact, God was nowhere near to be found in his mind. Nowhere near to be found. Malachi 3 talks about, like, how can a man rob God? Like, a man can rob God, you all, by not giving what's rightfully God's in the first place. This man is a fool because he forgot about God. See, that's what happens, you all, when it's all about ourselves. Like, we have to constantly fix our gaze on God himself. But in our giving, men and women, whenever we hoard this stuff, whenever we keep it to ourselves, whenever we say, no, this is my money, I earned this through the sweat of my brow, my, we completely forget God. And so not only did the man forget God, but he forgot about people as well. What's the purpose of wealth, you all? God gives us wealth so we can give our wealth to others. That's why. I'm going to repeat that. God gives us wealth so we can give it to others. God said, the things that you have prepared, whose will there be? God, it was like, dude, like, and think about it. Now, God says, tonight, your soul is required. Like, in this parable, God took that man's life because he missed the purpose for his life. He missed the purpose for his wealth. He missed the purpose of why he's created in the first place. I gave you all of that stuff so you can be generous with the people. But you lost sight of me and you lost sight of people. He chose to store up his treasures here on earth. You all, this man is a fool because he forgot about others. You all, whenever we hoard our money and we keep it to ourselves, we are willingly choosing not to bless our brothers and sisters, those who are in need. God gives us money so we can give others money. Amen? Now think about this, you all. I saw this and it just blew me away. This man forgot God and he forgot others. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to do what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he gave a second. And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And I love how Jesus puts a bow at the end of this. He says, all of the law and all of the prophets hang on these two commandments, loving God, loving people, with your giving, men and women. If you're withholding, you are forgetting about God, you're forgetting about others. And the whole reason why this stuff is, the whole reason for our existence is to love God and to love people. Think about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were written on two tablets. One tablet, all of the commandments, loving God. How to deal with God, how to love God. Other tablet, how to love people, how to deal with people. All of the law and all of the prophets are about loving God and loving others. Men and women, how incredible is it that we can show God that we love him and we love his people through our giving. NBF, over the last year, our giving has increased. Our offering has increased. It's been incredible. And every time I've been praying about giving, when I'm praying for the offering, I say, God, please use our resources, you know, our time, our energy, our money, our resources to further the kingdom of God. Malachi 3 says this. He said, put me to the test. Put me to the test. Well, I don't know about you all, but I take that scripture very seriously, very literally. So for a while now, I had the amazing opportunity of meeting with our finance team, with our deacons. And we all have been thinking and we all have been praying. We wrapped our heads together and we're like, all right, God, you said put us to the test. You said put you to the test. Then we're going to do it. We're going to truly put you to the test in our giving. So, y'all, we're launching off this project called Project 310. Project 310. And to explain Project 310 and putting God to the test, I'm going to ask for the deacons and the finance team to come up here, please. So if I can have the deacons and the finance team to come up. You all, can we give it up for these amazing men, you all. So first, you all, I'm gonna give the microphone to Nick Birkin, incredible guy, lead deacon. I'm gonna give the mic to him, and I'm gonna allow him just to share with you all just his heart, just what's the purpose, just what they pretty much what these guys do. Y'all, Nick Birkin.
Good morning, church. Like Richard said, my name is Nick Birkin. I'm your head deacon. Real quick, each one of these guys up here, so you guys know who your deacons and your finance team are. So
Starting over here, this is Dusty Smith. He is one of our deacons. Wendell Edwards, he is on our finance team. Tim St. Ange, he is one of our finance team members. Justin Hannaford, he is one of our finance team members. We have Scott Morrison, he's one of our deacons. Everybody knows this guy. Dennis Webb. He is very good with the pressure washer. we had a work day yesterday. Dennis ran a pressure washer for about 4 hours. So, a lot of this kind of was, kind of Dennis's vision. There was parts of this project that Dennis has kind of had a vision for that we, like I said, been talking about for a long time. So anyways. This is Tom Boyce. He is the leader of the finance team. He's the brains, I guess you could say. This guy has spent a lot of time, getting all the finances kind of in order with our budget and things like that. And so I truly have to thank this guy a ton because he has been an absolute just godsend to getting everything kind of situated, and he has saved a lot of headache and time for me. So, Tom, thank you. Love you. This is Chris Goodman. He's one of our deacons. We have Aaron Christ. He's a deacon as well. We have Lee Walden, who's one of our deacons. And then you have this bald, handsome man, Brent Good, who's one of our deacons as well.
They're talking about me.
Mike Walls is also one of our deacons, and on the finance team, he's up in the sound booth running the slides. So Richard asked me to kind of come up and just share a little bit and then also kind of introduce the group to everybody. So.
Mm-hmm. Time.
A couple things we wanted to talk about on there. One of our projects that we're looking at doing is putting an awning on the front of the church. It's been a goal of ours for a long time. It would allow us the ability in the inclement weather and stuff to drop off our wives, our kids, that type of stuff, right out the front door under an awning where we're not getting rained on or anything like that. Where it would also help us aesthetic-wise on the front of the church, kind of to break it up a little bit. Give it a little different appearance that we think we need on there. It would also help us reduce their sunlight coming into the front out there where all of our windows are. And we're hoping to reduce our energy bill a little bit. If it gets so warm out there in the summer that we're cranking the air out there, it's just getting tough to do. The other thing that we want to do that we really need to do back is our parking lot. Our parking lot hasn't been maintained real well over the last 10, 12 years, and it's starting to deteriorate out there. You guys probably noticed some chuck holes that Mike fixed last week, and you're starting to see soft spots develop, cracks in it, that type of stuff. So we want to come in and patch those spots up and then seal it and restripe it before winter gets us. I'm afraid that if it continues on through the winter, we're going to lose the parking lot and end up having to overlay the entire lot again, which is going to cost 5-6 times what it would cost us this year. So those are a couple of our goals, a couple of our dreams that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like Richard's going to talk about
In our last piece, we got Tom talked about the awning. Anybody who was here during Easter, y'all very well remember the monsoon that came after that. Everybody left pretty much drenched. That and the parking lot, Tom explained how dire we need a parking lot. But three, I think it's incredible as well, you all. Do we have a picture of that, y'all? This is what our team looks like on Wednesday night. Do I got the picture up there, Mike? Y'all see that? We're meeting outside because the Dedgum Kicks kicked us out, which is an amazing problem to have, an incredible problem to have. Now, the Wednesday night crew, they've been incredible. We've been meeting outside because what we're doing inside of the building, we are busting out of our seams. Busting out of our seams. Kids are growing. The Wednesday night crew is growing. The kids, all the way from the nursery, all the way up to youth, we're just growing like crazy. Well, what we would love to do, we want to give the youth a home. We want to give the youth a place like this is my building. You all know whenever you feel like you have a building, then you not only do you feel more at home, but you're more likely of telling other folks like, hey, come on, let me tell you about my house. Let me tell you about my place. And so we feel like the youth deserves a place that they can be the youth, the crazy youth, you know, that there are. Children's are busting out of the seams. And so we moved out of the 56 room because more and more kids are coming. And God has constantly allowed a slight increase, more and more folks. And God led us to this point, like, okay, guys, now is really time to put me to the test. You need a building because I'm going to continue to grow you. God is continually growing us, and we feel like he's going to continue to do that, you all. So in order for us to do that, then we need more room. So, y'all, we need a building. And so not only will this building will be for the youth and for the kids, but it'd be an incredible ministry opportunity, a credible ministry space. More and more people can come in, more, and we can use that building to open it up to the community and telling everybody, like, hey, here we're MBF. We want to be generous with our building. This is us. This is our mission. This is our vision. Come. We welcome you. Keep coming back. Be a part of our family. We really, truly believe that we just really want to be generous with this building to advance the gospel. This, you all right here, by having that, we just really believe that it's a great way to further the ministry. Amen? So what do you have to do with all of this? And again, we're calling this the 310, you know, Project 310. At the very beginning of that sermon, oh, I'm sorry, of that scripture, God says to put me to the test. Put me to the test. So we're like, okay, we're going to put you to the test. And God said, bring my full tithe and full offering. And so you all, we're challenging NBF, and we're all a part of NBF, to bring our full tithe and full offering to do that. In order to get a parking lot, in order to get an awning, and to get this building, you all, is going to cost $140,000. Bam. That's a big number. Let me give you a little bit more perspective with that, you all. We have roughly 312 families here at MBF. 312 families. So if each family, like give a $448.72 a year, that's $37.40 a month, that's $8.63 a week. In a year, y'all, we can have all of that taken care of. In a year. I don't know about you all, but I believe that we actually can do this. And we're doing this to further the ministry, to further the gospel. We need all of these things to further the gospel, you all. And so God is like, all right, put me to the test. You all bring your full tithes and your full offerings to this and watch me work. This is what's beautiful about these men up here at this stage. Whenever we sat down, we're like, man, we have $0.00 right now to make this happen, but we're going to make it happen because we are going to put God to the test. And according to Malachi, whenever we put God to the test and bring our full tithes and full offering to him, then God would literally open up the windows of heaven and blessings will pour out. You all, we truly believe that, and we have faith that God is going to make that happen. And we, you all, are NBF. We our MBF, and we truly believe, you all, that we can make this happen. And so, y'all, we're asking you all to let's obey God and let's put God to this test as a church. Let's bring our full tithe and our full offering and watch God work. $8 and how many cents? $8.63 a week. I believe we all can do that. Not only do I believe that we all can bring that $8.63 more a week, I believe that some of us can go well above and beyond that. God is growing us. He's growing our sphere of influence. He's launching us even more into the community. The community is looking at NBF doing incredible things for the community and the surrounding areas, you all. And he's given us people. He's given us resources. And we want to be great stewards of what God has given us. So how about, men and women, we bring our full tithe and full offering. We test God and watch God do some incredible things. So we're asking you, church, will you all commit to Project 310? Amen? All right, finance team. Y'all, can y'all give it up for the finance team again, for men and women? Know this, you all. Our main goal is not to get a parking lot. Our main goal is not to get an awning. Our main goal is not to get a building. That's not it. Our main goal is for us to obey God and for God to transform our hearts, that we will obey God, observe Him, submit to Him, and then watch God do some incredible stuff. I truly believe, you all, that every man, woman, and child in here, we have what it takes to submit to God, to obey to God. And y'all, I'm just excited to see what God is going to do. So again, how about you all, we obey God and watch God do some incredible things here at MBF. If you don't mind, if you raise to your feet, men and women. God will do incredible things, men and women. And I truly believe that God is just waiting for us. So how about we respond to the gospel and watch God do some incredible things? Amen? Let's worship Him.